Hello, everyone. Damn, we just beat the clock by like 11 seconds. Welcome, everyone, to Paranormal Talk. It's just Mike and I tonight. Most of the ladies are out doing ladies stuff. No, I'm just kidding. They're out visiting family and friends or partying or things along those lines. So I hope they're out having a good time. Just left us guys. And there's something weird. It feels weird here tonight. There's no Canadians with us. I don't know. I don't know if I feel comfortable with this no Canadian stuff. If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, I think we have 7 Canadian hosts on the network now. Usually 3 or 4 of them were participating with us in these shows. We're going to be talking about the apocalypse. And what is it? Where is it? How is it? Has it happened before? Is it coming right now? Is this what the hell is going on? I got to say, I've never thought about the apocalypse until Joe Biden got elected. And I was like, oh, shit. Well, because the dude is just whacked. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we're going to get into her names, but she was telling me he gets 3 to 4 shots a day. I was like, wow, of what? You know, what the hell are you shooting this guy with? I know, I remember when I used to have to get shots for my knee or for bursitis and stuff. That stuff they gave you was fabulous, man. You felt like Superman afterwards. You were, you know, up and alert. It would keep me like that for 4 or 5 days before it really just settled into the problem with the knee. It was great, whatever it was. And I had to go once a month and get it. But, you know, this guy supposedly getting 3 or 4 a day. I guess it goes by how many public appearances he has to make. So who's making the day-to-day decisions at the White House? Is he staying lit all the time? And he's making the decisions. You know, Mike and I talked about this on the other show, The Central's quite a lot. And, you know, I told everybody in the beginning he was going to come in and try to prove to Obama he was the better president. That he should have been a president, not Obama. And maybe 8 or 12 years ago, or however how long, 8 years ago, maybe he would have been a better guy. But I'm not thinking now he is. Maybe Obama's running the country. Maybe, you know, Obama has a straight phone into the White House. Biden, do this, do that. You know, get him good, loosen, unloosen. So do this, do this. I don't know. Let me see. He was going to get a B, maybe a C on COVID. Now he's going to get a big fat D. I'm sorry. And so I don't know where we're going to go from this. And everything else, I'd have to give him an F. So we'll see where he goes. But anyway, and the reason I bring this up is because it kind of feels like the apocalypse. Like, you know, if America goes, the apocalypse starts. I mean, that's all there is to it. Because then it's Russia and China against the rest of the world. Europe can be badass when it wants to be, but without America, there's no way it can withstand China and Russia. Now, we got India over there, but India, if India feels like they may get whooped, they may side with the other two. So you have to keep that in mind. India's an ally and a commonwealth, but still, you never know. I mean, they still like buying weapons from the Russians and stuff, and they keep a pretty strong tie with them. So you never know. If
India and Russia can get along all right. India and China, no. Yeah. And Russia, yeah. Hey, Russia and China don't get along either. They do on the surface, but not really.
Yeah, well, maybe in the end, they you know, kill everybody off first, and then India and Russia can kill off China and split the world at 50-50. Well, that would be
well. They understand. I think anybody who has a global mind understands China's drive and that they want to populate the earth. It's more about spreading out their masses, right? I mean, that's always kind of been the thing, and we see this all over the place, man. So right now, it's a contest between China and India. They're going head to head, but we've got other things on the table, like a global pandemic that's not stopping. And talking about the apocalypse, you know, the pale horse had sickness riding upon it, and he brought death and hell. I mean, I think that you have multiple apocalypses for multiple societies throughout the years, and we're kind of facing one now. We're facing a huge culling event. I mean, and now this new Delta variant is as contagious as smallpox, as Ebola, as chickenpox. So that, they're putting it at 1 to 8 to 9 for the transmission rate. Remember, we talked about it on the show a long time ago. And the original COVID was 1 to 2 to 3. You know, this is so one person can infect at least 8 to 9 people on average. And people are what do? They threw the masks away. They danced. They partied. They got together in large groups, businesses, casinos, say, come on in. You know, no social distancing. Things are back to normal again. So, but is it humans that demand the apocalypse, Joe? Is it people? It's not nature, right? It's people that bring things to this point.
Well, it isn't. In this case, it is anyway. So, certain things have to happen for certain things to go. So first off, and people don't think this is a political, we're not really getting into politics tonight, but unfortunately to talk about this particular apocalypse, you have to go there. So somewhere in China, in Wuhan, there's a disaster. Whatever it was, whether it was man-made, bat-made, whatever, there was a disaster. It swept into China really quick. China didn't say anything until almost January. It's happened in October in their country. So about 4 months, 3.5 months later, they said something. By then, it had pretty much taken root in most of the major countries around the world. So was this truly an accident, or was this the making of this particular apocalypse? Now, this fire has gotten out all over the place. It's killed several million. I have to actually go look how many, but it's several million now. So here we are with this thing. We think we're getting it under control, and then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, here comes the Delta variant. Now, the bad part about this is Delta and Lambda could have been stopped from coming into our country if we had just closed the borders south of us. Because they've already proved that's where it's coming from. Whether mainstream wants to talk about it or not, they've now proved that's where it came from. And not just that, they were taking these people and putting them. So first you have China lying and spreading it around the world. And then you have another group lying and letting it spread around our country. It's almost like there's an intelligence to this. So that's why it kind of fits into the apocalypse category. And Delta's going to do a lot of damage. It's going to kill a lot of people. And it'll be
carnage. And then Lambda, they're saying, is the most dangerous. So I mean, and it's actually scaring these healthcare professionals. And there's a lot of breakthrough infections. There's people who are fully vaccinated, who are ill, who have the symptoms, who are going to the hospital. So, but why it's important to get the vaccine is because if you have it and you get COVID, even this version of COVID, you most likely are going to live, And that's the numbers. Those are numbers. So, but look at Brazil. They're almost up, catching up to us. They're almost at 600,000 deaths. I mean, and it's just rolling on and on. So it's not going to be over for a long time.
Nope. So this is the start of this apocalypse. Now, generally, when this kind of crap happens, and we're not going to get any kind of numbers out of China or for that matter, Russia, it kind of is giving us some true numbers because they finally admitted, oh, shit, it took over their country. But for some reason, China then, and we also know that China's vaccine is, how can I say this politely, crap. So now we're knowing that they're still got a lot of infected people in China, and still a lot of places in China you can't go, you can't visit.
But they're hiding their numbers. They're hiding.
So anyway, yeah, they are hiding them. So anyway, we've got this mini apocalypse going on around the planet. So coming to America, so we shut all our borders down. Okay, nobody can come in the country, and we're going to keep these variants out. And then all of a sudden, I guess out of spite, because I can't think of any other reason, they reverse everything that the other president then shutting down the southern border and they open it up. But they don't open it up for illegals, for elites. So in other words, if you were legal, you couldn't come in the country. You understand that, right, ladies and gentlemen? If you're legal coming from South America, you can't come in the United States right now. You can't even come in from freaking Canada.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So nobody can come in here, but the illegals can not only come in, but they're being spread around the country carrying Delta and Lambda. Because a lot of them are from Peru, so where these two came from. So this, like I said, this little apocalypse we're talking about has this feel. It's almost manufactured. It's moving along at a predictable rate. It's almost like something out there is pushing it away. Now, depending on what you believe in, some people might say it was a devil or God or whatever, aliens. It could be any damn thing. I don't really think it's any of that. I think it's man being a dumbass like they are and did something that they lost control of. Didn't want to admit they lost control of, and then wham, bam, thank you, man, we all are suffering for it. But what's scary about this little mini-apocalypse, it could turn into a full apocalypse. If one of these variants, let's say like Lambda crossed with something else and it came into something that was not treatable, then the only thing that's left is never go outside your house. Well, how long are you going to last? Eventually, I agree the virus would die off and go away if there was nowhere for it to go. But that's not in the immediate carnage. I don't know, like half the world's population or more. So we're in a position where we need to do the right things and understand that this is a little mini apocalypse that's happening right now. And it could turn into a full damn blown apocalypse because, unfortunately, first they didn't want to give kids shots. Now they want to give kids shots. And now all of a sudden they want to give everybody a shot. So I'm kind of like, whoa, wait, what? I thought we were going to give kids shots. So now it's just ridiculous where all this is going to. So, normally I wouldn't say this, but if I was you, I'd get some kind of shot right now. I'm just saying. some of the new variants you don't want to play with, even if you're in pretty good health, these could be a serious risk to your health. So,
well, Joe, you and I are both vaccinated, you know?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, I'm partially vaccinated. You're fully vaccinated. Yeah. And we're the biggest naysayers, conspiracy theorists there are on the planet. And we got inoculated. So that's got to tell people out there.
And you know, well, see, to me, it was a weird thing. And I'll be honest about this since we're talking about this. I didn't get as much inoculated for me as I did. I mean, I go in a lot of people's homes. I'm in a lot of different stores. I go to a lot of different places. And either for my day job or my night job, I tend to be in people's homes. And I didn't want to be the guy who got it and transmitted it to, you know, like half of Metairie and half of Mississippi because I was being ignorant. So I figured I'll get the vaccination because I already had COVID and the vaccination. So I kind of feel doubly inoculated. So I feel more comfortable now. And people do too when they get around me. They're like, oh, okay, well, you're good. And, you know, because a lady asked me the other day, do I have to wear my mask around? And I said, that's up to you. I said, I've been inoculated. Oh, well, so have I. And boom, everybody's all happy and all. And it makes people more comfortable as well. And we need to do what we can do to get rid of this thing because I would like to go back to a normal life. I don't need an apocalypse right now. The big apocalypse is still yet to come. We've already been to 3 or 4 in the past. I mean, Jesus, can we catch a break every once in 100 million years?
Oh, you're not going to believe what's going to happen off of this. Give it a few weeks, man. It's going to be right in the thick of it. But it's important that everybody wears their masks. It's the droplets is how this thing gets around. It's also aerosolized. It's up in the air. So, I mean, you know, vaccinated or not, if you're vaccinated, there's a lot of breakthrough infections. So you have people who are getting it, who are carrying it. The ones who are vaccinated, who aren't getting affected, can still be asymptomatic and have it. And you know, there's going to have to be new rules. There's also new symptoms that are coming out with this Delta variant. Like people are saying their skin hurts, their skin is sensitive. You know, I read this a long time ago from India. When the doctors there were going through all the new symptoms. So it's important to know what's coming. And we've been playing catch up all along from day one with this thing, you know, and we're relying on the wrong people for information. Okay. So right. I like the Mayo Clinic. I like Johns Hopkins. There's things that these are trusted to me, trusted sources, you know. And Mayo Clinic says that everyone's going to get the Delta variant. Everyone's going to come in contact with it at some point. There's no avoiding it. So there you go.
Now that they're not going to let anybody go anywhere again and put everybody in masks, that'll at least slow the chances down. But still,
we have a bigger problem. We got the healthcare, people. A lot of them aren't re-upping. A lot of these nurses don't want to be nurses anymore. A lot of doctors are leaving. You know, there's just all this stuff going on there. But, I mean, look at Florida right now. Their hospitals are almost at capacity. People on breathing machines, now they're begging for help, you know. But then you get DeSantis the other day. He said, okay, all state workers have to get vaccinated, you know, or they have to test every week. You know, he's telling people to put their masks back on. So, but too little, too late. And they thumb their nose at this virus. The virus isn't political. It doesn't care what politics you got. Every 100 years there's a virus like this, right? You know, 100 years ago, Spanish flu was a bird flu is what it is. And it killed a couple hundred million people around the world. You don't think that this thing's got the potential to kill hundreds of millions by the time it's over? And then if Lambda comes along, which is more contagious, if Delta is 70 times more contagious than the last COVID, the last variant, then and you're saying Lambda is even more. So to be optimistic, as someone who's followed diseases all my life, everything comes to a head and everything goes back down. Everything's got a half-life. Everything kind of dissipates after a while. You know, it gets down to a certain level. I think that a variant could easily come along that in the COVID world be more powerful, but as the people, not be as dangerous to us and more filtered down like a common cold type of situation or a flu type of situation. Do you know what I mean? But right now we're looking at something that's starting to peak or peaking. We don't know where that's going to end up. We just know that people need to be responsible. And it's no mistake it came from India. It's a very dirty, disgusting place. People bathe in their own filth. And I'm not being mean or nasty. I'm being truthful of how people live there. You look at the Ganges River, and there's dead bodies flowing by, and people are bathing, and they got cows in there. You know, I mean, so if you have an environment that's full of bacteria to begin with, and then you have you have these variants that thrive in that type. They thrive in crappy immune systems. You know, that's what they thrive on. And that's what they do. Now you get this black fungus in DC and Dallas, and it's spreading this fungus. So people have crappy immune systems and it's going after them, man. This is scary. And people need to get vaccinated. People need to put their mask on, do their hands, and be vigilant until it's over. Not until people, no politicians saying it's over. India declared it was over, and look what happened. And hundreds of thousands of dead people later on it. And they said they're understating it by 10%. So millions of dead people later. You know, unbelievable, man.
Well, I always tell people to wipe their hands. Wait, see, guys, that's what we're talking about. Anyway, we're going to get into some other apocalypse here in a minute. But
remember, I'm going to school them, too. We have to say that hand sanitizer is one of the worst things that you can use. You want hot soap and water, and that's really what you want to be able to use, or even alcohol. But the hand sanitizer, I know it's got alcohol in it, whatever. What it does, it makes bacteria stronger. The more you use it, it makes bacteria stronger. So now you got these super microbes. You know, you see these new infections coming around where, you know, they can't treat them, you know, and it's killing a lot of people. So it's, I don't know, man.
What they do is they tell you the volume of alcohol in it. We usually get 87 or 91% alcohol, so don't worry about it too much. Alcohol kills every damn thing. But
cask strength bourbon, man, pow.
Bourbon has other mediums you could grow in, so we don't be using no bourbon. But
cask strength is 60%. That's what you want, man. You want that 120 proof, 60%. That's what rubbing alcohol is, man.
They you can get rubbing alcohols for like wood alcohol, 100%, man. You can get the stuff that they used to, you could make, but you couldn't.
Well, you
drink.
Need at least 60% to kill the bugs, and may as well get them drunk on the way out, man.
Alcohol,
but people, you know, Joe, but people don't believe it. They're out there in groups. They're
actually, I know there's a lot of people wash their hands. They just don't want to wear a mask.
No, I'm saying the COVID thing. I mean, people are still in groups hanging out, and they're acting like it's over and done with, and. I was in the supermarket earlier. I think I was the only one wearing a mask, you know, and I'm in Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah, you're going to see that a lot of places down here, even with the new mask mandates, they're going to get out. But no, Chris, we're going to get into some more apocalypses. Just y'all be careful out there. That's all we can tell you. Actually, we'll talk more about this on Friday, but all I can tell you is be careful out there, you know, take the right steps, you know, keep your hands clean, keep your face clean. Yeah, you can wear nose plugs, but then you're breathing through your mouth, so you're just doing the same damn thing. At least it might catch some of it. You can always get one of those Navaj systems that flushes your whole brain out, and that might keep you from getting it. But still,
I got a nice Israeli gas mask, man. They know how to make their. I just ordered a whole bunch of more masks because I know what's coming. You know.
Hey, Zach. How much reaction did you have to the J&J? It was. I know for me, it was just. I guess maybe because I had it. I got a shot. I thought they gave me a placebo, man. I'm like, well, you sure you gave me something?
So I haven't read too much about any side effects from the J&J so far. A little bit, not much, you know. Moderna, yeah. I got the Moderna, and
The Pfizer and Moderna has pretty good. But you know what the doctor said? I was talking to my doctor. She said the more effect, the stronger the protection.
So I had the Moderna, and at the first dose, I couldn't sleep the first night. I had like, you know, my stomach was bothering me and all that mess. That's part of it, you know. And I don't know.
It's a little different for different people.
I felt funky, man, like funky.
Yeah,
you know, you had crazy dreams of aliens probing me, and they were like,
"Describe your issue."
They said that you took our vaccine. Ha ha ha! You are one of us.
We're coming for you now. Pretty soon you'll be growing all kind of limbs.
They probed me. They wanted their vaccine back. They were like, "We're gonna probe you." Yeah, man. So. It wasn't too bad, but really it's the second dose that's supposed to be the worst. So I'm looking forward to that in 3 weeks.
Well, you know, it's funny about that. It is for a lot of people. It is the second dose, but not for everybody. It's been a little different for different people. And remember, John and Emily came on air with us when they got theirs. They were on the radio with me that night. About 7-8 hours after they got it, they were on air. I told them, I said, look, if y'all need to take off, just take off, and we'll do a show another night. And they're like, no, we got it. So I got to give him credit for being troopers out there, man. It's
in 3 weeks, I hope everything is still functioning. I don't know, man. I got a bad feeling.
Well, no, I don't. Not as, it's, I don't know. It seems like parts of the country's doing all right. Parts are not.
No, it's not. Well, they're all going up. It's just like it happened last year. You know, one at a time. Boom, boom, boom. Here's this one. Here's that one. It really comes down to the rate of transmission. So North Dakota's not doing too bad. South Dakota not doing too bad. But guess what's happening in a week and a half? It's surges. So you're going to have 2.5 million bikes, you know, bikers and people and fans, you know, converging on that place. And they got to get there. They got to get home. People who travel, they go, they got to get there. They got to get on the plane. They got to get in a terminal. They got to go, you know. So this is where the spread happens, man. I drove last year with somebody else all the way across to Utah with a kid and with a broken foot for Utah and back, man. And we drove all over the freaking place out there, you know, 32 days on the road. And I stayed away from the busy places. I stayed away from, like, the rest stops, certainly. You know, I looked for Italian food restaurants that had their bathrooms open, man. Always the cleanest bathrooms. I don't know. It just works out like that. And you can get a slice on the way out, man. But, and, you know, I mean, but I wore a mask. I did my hands and the whole bit. So.
We always keep the sprayers in the car, the trucks.
Yeah. But this is different. The Delta variant's different. It gets around differently. It's much more infectious. So it's not the same as last year. It's very difficult to do.
Yeah, it's just like every year the flu gets worse or better. It's good. We have our years where it's way more infectious and our years when it's way
worse. Nah, dude, this is no. You got to stop saying flu when it comes to this virus. It has nothing to do with the flu.
We've had flu that's killed higher rates than this.
Yeah, but flu, oh, no, never, man. We lost 607,000 people in a little more than a year. Flu never did that. Yeah, maybe 34,000 people in a year. Maybe 70, I think, was the most. 72,000, the most.
No, 607,000. What was it, 1911 or 1908 or something? It killed like 900,000 people in the United States. Killed like 5 million worldwide. Actually, flu's killed. Actually, to date, it's actually killed more people than COVID does. We just don't want to talk about it because we didn't have vaccines to stop it back then. And that's what people understand. If it was like that today, it'd be a lot more dead people running around our planet right now.
You have to understand that this virus is not political, man. You can't throw a conservative angle. You can't throw a Democratic angle on it. It's not political.
It's always political. The way it's handled and treated is always political.
That's political. That's why people aren't going to get their booster shot, because Congress right now is playing games saying people don't need one, like they're doctors, like they know, honestly. And then here's Pfizer crashing and burning at 32% effective, you know? So if you got Moderna, if you had Johnson & Johnson's, you're faring all right against the Delta. But even they're not 100%. Nothing is.
Nothing's ever going to be 100%. But anyway, we need to move on. I'm getting too many. Anthony, missed call. No, dude, I'm on the air.
For the apocalypse, the apocalypse happens for many civilizations. When Babylon fell, that was their apocalypse. You know, there's... It happens because of people, and they're mainly because of greed and stupidity.
Well, yeah, or crazy viruses or stuff like that. I mean, every now and then, if the caldera goes off, well, there you go. That's pretty much and at least the northern hemisphere will be wiped out. Southern hemisphere will still survive. And that's another weird thing today, because there's so many of us on the planet. Not necessarily everyone would die in an apocalypse. You know, one hemisphere might outlive the other one. Even with great diseases, if you just cut off all travel below the equator, you could probably survive.
They say New Zealand is the ideal place to survive an apocalypse.
Yeah, the fact they just
did a study. They just did a – I just had it up on my computer not long ago.
Yeah, because one, it's nothing down there strategic, so you're not going to blow it up. It's not even worth – and then maybe you might want to conquer it.
Scientists shortlist the 5 countries that most likely. You don't want to be on that most likely side, though. You want it for sure. If you're going to go make the move, sure, man.
I don't know if there's any for sure. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. He said he's going to he works in Yucca Mountain. He said, and if there's ever an apocalypse, that's where he's going to ride out the storm. Yucca Mountain, in case you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is where we store all the nuclear waste from our planes, from our spacecraft, from our submarines, from our ships and everything else, that and rockets and old warheads. All the radiation is stored there, all of it is. And some of this stuff has half-life of 20, 25, 30, 35,000 years. They actually made a plaque in case something happens to humanity in something like 50 different languages and even weird pictograph stuff that if somebody else was to find it later on, they would not enter the place.
So the six countries, New Zealand, like I talked about, right? That's the top spot to survive a collapse of civilization, followed by Iceland, Tasmania, Tasmanian Island, Ireland and Australia, of course, Ireland and the UK. So I think I'd do Australia, man.
What do you think, Joe? Australia's a strategic target. It's getting nuked. Sorry about that, people. Australia's just like the UK. They're both strategic targets. They're getting nuked. And nothing that wipes out the Northern Hemisphere isn't going to wipe out the UK. Well, that gets nuked.
New Zealand is screwed. It's like right there. They got front row seats.
But the winds, the trade winds blow the other way, so the UK.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it blows the other way. That's the way it works.
Wind blows how it wants to blow.
No, the poles move in certain directions. You got certain winds traveling in certain directions, like the jet stream. So the jet stream would be moving out. That's when it screws us. It's what screws China. So China nukes the United States. The jet streams pick it up and dump it over China. If we nuke China, it picks it up and dumps it over us. We're screwed. We can't even nuke anybody without getting ourselves nuked.
China had a diabolical plan of putting nuclear warheads in balloons and letting the balloons ride the winds. They used to do that way, way, way back in the day, is send balloons over to the West, to our West anyway, to their East. Isn't that amazing, though? Think about it. Totally stealth. You would never even – nobody would even suspect something like that.
Yeah, but that stupid kid would shoot it down with a BB gun.
As crazy as the Pentagon putting a nuclear warhead on a dolphin, teaching it how to swim into certain areas. I remember reading those stories.
Because people always thought they were supposed to go blow up. No, they attached them to ships and then took off. When they attached them to port. Yeah, the dolphin didn't actually sacrifice itself. That's originally Tom first heard. I'm like, what? You're killing dolphins? What the hell wrong with you?
About a nuclear lobster, man. For the hoity-toity crowd.
That's the scary part. It actually worked. The dolphins could swim in, attach things to ships and submarines, and not even know it, and swim off. And you wouldn't even know they were there. I'm like, well, that's not – come on. We can't be using dolphins.
How about a panda things that can kind of defuse bombs? I want one of those, man.
I mean, come on. They used pigeons in World War II.
I want a wolf with a 50-caliber machine gun mounted to it.
And let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, World War II was the last great apocalypse. Remember, everybody was going to die in, what was it, 53 million of us did die?
Probably Vietnam was the apocalypse for a lot of people that were over there. Our people, their people, man to man,
Yeah, it depends what part you're in.
Sometimes an apocalypse is individual, but we're talking about more of a societal collapse globally, and we're watching the first dominoes fall, I feel like,
So Babylon was probably the first or the last great apocalypse happened with when they sank up below the sea.
Rome fell. I mean, every civilization like that falls because they get greedy and crazy.
Rome could have been what stabilized the world and had just a one world government. I mean, they had the right idea and everything, but somehow or another.
Yeah, feeding people to the lions kind of puts a damper on the whole freedom thing, man.
Yeah, but that kind of changed as they got into elected officials again. It was all a change, but they had gotten so passive, they didn't keep their armies up, and then they had to deal with the hordes. Well, they had to deal with Genghis Khan. And
see, with me, when I was a kid, I used to watch Grizzly Adams, And that was like the perfect life of life, Here's a dude walking away from the megalomania of life. I mean, finds a cub in trouble, saves it. That's his best friend, Bear. That's it. And then, he walked away from life. He got that old dude up there. They're making moonshine, dancing on the mountain. Some women come up there sometimes, man, pass on through. That's the life. You stay away from people because people are toxic. People are toxic, man. But now people don't care if they make you sick, If someone's saying, hey, I don't believe that, it's funny, Joe, the word belief, because I talk to people and they say, I don't believe in COVID-19. I'm like, what don't you believe? They use that word like a religious term because belief is something someone has to sell you to make you believe something that they don't have any evidence to present that's real. So I believe in it. It's bull crap.
No, you can believe in whatever you want to believe in. I mean,
I believe in tacos. But you know what? I know tacos. I know tacos. I don't have to believe it.
Frank says, well, do you trust your government with vaccines? He said, let's talk about how many times they use different groups of people using vaccines to check. They what was the last one with the black man when they were giving him, was it sickle cell? They were giving it to him to find out how to get the cure. Oh, it wasn't sickle cell, it was another one. Yeah, you just happened to catch it on TV the other night. This is the same people that want to give you vaccines today. And we also know, I
think those people are pretty much dead. These are new. This is a new
group. Yeah, well, these are kids of the same people or grandkids of the same people. Don't really matter.
A new group of Ivy League professionals.
Yeah, their grandkids more than likely, their great grandkids crying out a particular thing or carrying out a particular thing. But it's a strange thing. We know that there's been vaccines that have been detrimental to our health. We know when the first chicken pox vaccines were bad and they did all kind of damage. They caused autism and all sorts of other shit. So we know these are facts that these were already been sued for and documented. But right now is where the drug companies are vulnerable. See, they don't have official FDA approval. So you can sue them into bejesus right now. Once they get that FDA approval, you cannot. There's a cap on how much you can get from any pharmaceutical company based on a vaccine. If it kills you, maims you, whatever. I think it's 50 grand.
See, that's why they can't mandate it. It's an emergency use drug. Yeah. You know, Congress has to vote for it, and then they're not going to do it.
No, because it puts them on the hook, and they don't want to be on the hook. This way, if something goes wild with these vaccines now, they're on the hook. And it could be the great apocalypse as far as we know. You know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, people might just start dropping dead.
I feel like this vaccine's giving me superpowers, though, man. I'm much faster than I used to be, at least like a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, Justin,
and also, I just lifted my Jeep over my head to look under it, man. That was very weird. That's not normal.
That's not normal, man. You sound like, what was his name when he's driving in the car and all that stuff splashed on him? He had superpowers.
Fred Flintstone? No, Chevy Chase, Modern Problems. That was a great movie, man.
That's the last time I remember seeing one like that. But
I usually don't like Chevy Chase, man. You know,
I don't either. He was good in that movie. But other than that,
Caddyshack, he was good in Caddyshack.
Yeah, he always seems to play with a bunch of goofy ass people too. Yeah, well, he was in Ghostbusters, wasn't he?
Nah, Caddyshack and Bill Murray were going head to head. I mean, he was going head to head with Bill Murray during Caddyshack, and they hated each other. They got into a fist fight. Actually, they on the set of Saturday Night Live.
And that's their apocalypse. Yep. So you know what? The Chinese and the Khan family were probably the Romans' apocalypse because they could only pay.
Well,
so
look at
much
the plague, the Black Plague, and you know you always had bacteria and bugs and parasites, all kinds of stuff causing anything and anything throughout the years. Then in the 70s, mysteriously, you had Ebola, which a lot of people think that it was governmentally developed. You know, in 1973, and then. You know, it just kind of comes and goes, and it's basically a hemorrhagic fever. So you bleed out of your eyes, you bleed out of your fingernails, all the thin membranes that protect you from bleeding out dissipate, dissolve, and then it's passed through droplets. The same for COVID, the same for smallpox and chickenpox. Very highly contagious. Measles is the most. Measles number one. If you're in a
measles
house,
then chickenpox, man. What
if you're no measles number one, that's the most contagious that we know to man. If you're in a house of 20 people and someone's got measles, they're all going to get it in some form or fashion, and have been exposed to it. So, but we got to hope that it doesn't get to that level. It's like a Category 5 hurricane. You want to hope that doesn't get there. And I think that as long as this thing can encounter people with weak immune systems, it's going to grow other mutations that are going to try to find their way around of, you know, vaccines and other type, your immune system and all that. And the Lambda variant apparently is very slippery. So the proteins, you know, the vaccine, which is supposed to cover the proteins and kill them normally, won't be able to hold on. This is what they're worried about. So that is going to, then it'll come down to the immune system. Or antibodies. There's antibody therapy, which takes quite some time.
It sounded like the aliens were taking you there for a moment, man.
In England, they're developing pills that if people get COVID, they're experimenting all kinds of stuff. But this is day by day, man. There's no set anything that we know. I mean, knowledge, just what we can learn off the past, and which is, look what's going on now compared to last year. It's ridiculous. But whatever, man.
We haven't got the last numbers yet, so.
But do you think that there's a Satan? Do you think that there's a devil, like saying, "I want this apocalypse"? Ha 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 ha! You know, look at these stupid people. Or do you think it's just people doing each other in?
for the most part, it's just people doing each other in because they're stupid. If China would have warned everybody in the beginning, this would have been handled much differently. The countries would have closed off way faster. They would close down the cities way faster, and we wouldn't have had these issues.
As an investigator,
as more issues, I should say.
As an investigator, I'm going to say this: we don't know anything about. We know the virus came from a Wuhan lab. We can trace the evidence back. We know the CDC knew about it. We know that scientists all around the world protested that lab, you know, before 2015 when they were building it, because they didn't think that China had the responsibility of holding in those deadly bugs. And the lab's two blocks away from that wet market. But we don't know if it was intentional, not intentional. We don't know the facts. We just know that it happened, you know, and that's all we can conclude for now is that it came from there. It spread around the world. It got to, I'll tell you, it got to Italy from that sick woman. That couple was from Wuhan. They got off the ship and then she was really ill. And Italian authorities put her back on the ship in 6 hours and told them to leave. They let 1,000 people off that ship into Rome, into northern Rome. And then they kicked them out. And then right after that, what happened in 2 weeks? We talked about it on the show, Joe. And within 2 weeks, it was ravenous to Italy. And people were dying in the virus. That woman had the first variant. That was the first, which had a 13% mortality rate. I was doing the numbers on the show all the way through, man. And then here we are with a new variant a long time later, which is more deadly than that one. That's pretty scary.
Well,
and the fungus.
We know that's how they do, though. I mean, with the birds.
The fungus has a 30% mortality rate. So, you know, they can't treat it with drugs. So think about that.
Yeah, because it's a super bug and stunt got immune to like 90% of the antibiotics on the planet.
But what do we learn? We've learned that people stay home. That I mean, I think that if people get locked back in again, what they have to mitigate, it won't be as bad because they're kind of used to it.
No, but you're not getting people locked back in again. Maybe the Yankees will fall for it, but the South is not going for it. Neither is the Heartland. And from what I can see lately, not the West ain't going for it either.
The South shall not rise again.
The South shall live for it like they always
I'll
do.
That.
Don't
be knocking on my Yankee door when you guys are saying.
I just said the other day, the South has been through far worse than this when it came to typhoid fever and plague.
Well, you're sitting outside your door with Martha, and you got to shoot people because they're trying to take your food.
Did you know the last great plague that came through Louisiana killed 300,000 people in 3 weeks? Yeah, so like they said, this ain't the worst thing we've ever faced, and it's probably not going to be the last time we face something like this. In the end, most humans will survive these viruses regardless. They'll either get herd immunity or they'll die. So
humans are like an infectious disease of themselves.
We keep running around and locking ourselves down and not doing anything, or we can just let it work its way through the system until it's done, like we do with the flus every year, because it's what it basically is.
But this isn't the flu. It's nothing like it.
Technically, it's a cold, actually.
It's nothing like the flu. But the problem is if you let's say you let things go, sure, you want to get the herd immunity. That's great for a said variant that you can control. But as long as these things are mutating as fast as they are, and that's the important thing to pay attention to, is that normally a coronavirus mutates maybe twice in its lifetime. This thing's mutated dozens of times already, man. And it seems like it's just trying to dial in. It seems too smart and too sophisticated and too well designed to be from nature. I'm going to say that just like that.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of some pretty serious ones where they
this came from a weapons lab in Wuhan, a weapons lab where they create biological weapons. So people need to confront that and not let people also get away with it. You know, and talk about some reparations down the road. You know, Biden's weaker than baby poop, and he's sitting there. I don't even know what he's doing, honestly. I don't know what the old guy's doing.
Yeah, they, but, you know,
he's
they
not doing anything.
The COVID is like a really, really serious, like a really serious, serious cold is what they call it. It was like, it's got some of the same structures as if that's true, then eventually they'll
well, the common cold is also coronavirus, but in this situation, this is actually called SARS-CoV-2. It's a SARS virus. And, you know, it's a lot stronger, a lot more powerful, a lot more elusive than some basic cold. You know, there's also no cure for the common cold.
No, there isn't.
You treat the symptoms.
You just got to treat it. You got to run through it. It's probably why they picked this particular thing to make out of it. I don't know, guys. You're going to have to be careful because it is leading to the next apocalypse. So, you know, we've had other things in the past that we could consider apocalypse, but this is one of them ones that, you know, if it, well, actually, if it keeps running through, it'll probably become null and void in less than 2 or 3 years at the rate.
I'd say probably about 10 to 12 years. But I'll say, man, because I'm measuring the time. I'm actually measuring the timeline, you know, and that's where it's putting it right now, around 10 to 12 years. You know, by the time something like this could possibly burn itself out. But to get to that half-life a few years later down the road, come on, man.
That's only suggesting if more than a third of the population stays unvaccinated. At this rate, and because of this, it's starting to pick up again, 600,000 vaccinations.
I'm going to be apocalyptic, Joe. I'm going to say that there'll be variants that can waltz right around the vaccine and then get more deadly and kill. So, and just fill your lungs full of fluid and you die. So, and then if there's not enough hospital equipment and breath, you know, breathing machines and breathing apparatus, people are just going to die. Just like in Wuhan, when people were dropping dead, waiting to get into the hospital, dropping dead in the street. All the reports that we heard. Just like in India, people were dropping dead. You know, I mean, you know, we have hospitals, but really? You know, think about ambulances. One ambulance for 5,000 people in America. And China is one for 50,000.
But the hospital thing was always a line of bullshit anyway. Because we looked at how many ventilators were in the U.S. There were never even where near that many cases on.
But
ventilators.
It's good that they had them. It's good that they had them in reserve.
I know, but they were
lying
the whole time. Though they were just going on.
I don't know about
on.
Lying. I think they're planning for. You know, you plan for the worst, you hope for the best. If you're in emergency management, you know that you're not trying to count beans. You're trying to count lives. You know, and even though Andrew Cuomo sent ill people into nursing homes and mandated it, and you know, tens of thousands of people died because of that. So there's that.
He was an idiot.
New York had the most deaths out of the whole country.
Yeah, he was. Well, give it time. Well, Florida's not really getting anybody dying right now. And the Florida
Florida's about 400 or 500 people a day dying.
Florida's bitching that right now. They're not Florida citizens that are dying, by the way. He's like, what the hell? He said, these people come around because you know, like 60% of Florida is vaccinated and all their old people are vaccinated. So Florida took a lead on this. All of a sudden, but they're like, so what do you mean? Only the 40% of our people are getting sick? That's not even true. Half the people that are getting sick aren't even from Florida.
I'll tell you about
ignorant rednecks.
For some
reason, the media just wants to skip over that.
Florida's chock full of ignorant rednecks. And these are the same people I don't believe in it. I think it's all bull crap, and I don't believe. They're the ones who are going to die. So they're the ones who are going to get deathly ill. And people can believe whatever you want to believe. It doesn't matter. It's about survival. I don't care what you believe. I don't want you to make me sick. That's the deal. It's a health emergency. So it's not their rights. It's everyone's rights to avoid something like this. So yeah, put the mask on. Big deal. I hate wearing a mask. I still wear it. I wear it from my own personal health. So.
Yeah, but the mask might give you cancer. You know, almost every mask I've bought has a little warning label either in the bag or on the thing. It says can cause cancer.
Hey, man, the vaccine is a cancer curing agent. So maybe at the maybe by freak accident, we'll cure it. Be impervious to cancer, man. Like, that'd be kind of cool. It'd be nice if something good. You know, doctors don't really do much. They don't cure anything. They kind of just prolong things, you know. So I think we need to get on the curing.
Yeah. I remember all these newspapers were coming and saying, oh, it was 100,000, 160,000, 200,000 ventilators in the country. And that was the FDA actually came in and said, it's quite a few more than that. They had done an audit for the other group. They said, no, that's not what it was. They actually put the original audit out, but I noticed you can't find it on either site. They're fuckers. They just can't even help themselves. Got to try to change it to their narrative anyway.
Well, now that, see, the Democrats thought they were going to take over, declare victory on COVID. Everybody's going to be out and free. And it was Joe Biden who was getting, how many hundreds of millions was going to be vaccinated by the time it was going to be, June or something? He had like this huge number.
He's at half right now. He's at 164 million. And that we don't even know for sure if that's all had their second shot either.
So then they're trying to decide if you only had the one shot and you've gotten past that 4-week period, and they said maybe 6 weeks the most where you can get the second shot, what happens to those people? Because
you see what they were doing in Canada, if you got the Pfizer shot, they gave you the Moderna as a second shot because they were saving a Pfizer shot for the kids. What? How do you do that? I mean, are those two technologies that close together? Was one stealing the other guy's ideas? It kind of bothers me a little bit.
But if Israel puts the Pfizer at 32% protection, that's you know, barely a third of chance. And I don't know, man. We're just learning. We're just learning day by day. And then you get the naysayers. Oh, this isn't true. And that's, I don't believe in that. They don't know anything. We don't know anything. We only know what happens day by day, you know, and now we're seeing these breakthrough infections. Yeah. You could predict stuff all day long. You know, we've done it here. I've done it on my show, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I told people what right here, we're going to be in the middle of a pandemic. And you know, right after the 4th of July, a couple of weeks after, it was easy to see. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a PhD.
Yeah, we're going to see where it's going.
I'm just some jerk off who is a researcher. That's it. That's it. God damn it. That's it.
So this is how it went. So Atlantis sunk. That was the first great apocalypse for the human race.
Atlantis.
Atlantis.
You got Atlanta on the. I'm thinking, no, when Atlantis, did Atlanta
not
Atlanta. Sink?
Where you at? We're Atlanta sink, not Atlanta. Atlanta.
When the hell did Atlanta sink?
Atlanta. Atlanta sank, and then the next one would have been the Sumerian Empire falling. And the next one would have been the Egyptian Empire falling to the Romans, and then the Romans falling to the Chinese, and then the Chinese. I don't know what happened. The Chinese just built a wall around themselves and didn't come out for 2,000 years.
Well, Japan took over China with like almost nothing.
Yeah, they were feeding them. That's why they were offering food. But see, and China knows this, and this proves a very, very crucial point for China. So all Japan did was cut off their food routes, because China can't feed itself. It's got 1.4 billion people, and they can't feed itself.
Because they can't grow anything. This place is horrible.
Well, even the places they can, it's just not enough. They can't. There's no way you can feed 1.4 billion people.
They never had any Jews there, man. You know, it was the Jews that taught the Arabs how to grow stuff in the arid conditions. You know, I mean, you know, at one time the Jews and Arabs were very good friends in Palestine, that whole area, and Israel. You know, and it was like until a Palestinian leader went over to Russia and learned all about communism and came back. That's what tainted the entire thing. That's what started the whole mess.
But it's coming back in line again with the Saudis and the Egyptians and the Israelis all becoming friends. It's changed.
Yeah, because they all hate each other, and they all have common enemies who live on the other side of the soil. So they have to like Saudi Arabia clearing their airspace for Israel to go strike, you know, like Turkey and his face over there, man, Iran.
It's a change in dynamic over there, and that's something that the Chinese and the Russians hate.
There ain't no changing dynamic, Joe. I know you've played Risk. The game of Risk, it always ends up in the Middle East, man. Always, always, always. That's always the determining factor.
Actually, this time, it won't end up in the Middle East. I can promise you that. There'll be fights.
All right, so we're talking about, Armageddon. Do you know the very first war, recorded war on the planet, was fought right there in the Middle East in a desert called Armageddon? They named it after it, and that was where it began. And that began in what you call Iraq and Iran, that whole area, man. So still to this day, maybe it's just people can't live there. Maybe their brains are baked from a hot sun or something. I don't know.
Nah, give it time, man. Give it time. I'm telling you, give it time. It's a change in dynamic over there. There's going to be more and more countries filing. Turkey's already talking about making friends with Saudi Israel because they're
Turkey should make friends with stuffing. You know that? And they should go north and get some cranberry sauce.
Turkey makes good guns, man. They make quite a few good products.
You say that because you bought one, man. That's like buying a Turkish car and saying, hey, they make a great car.
Who do you think was making them AK-47s for the Russians? Still to this day, AK-47 best machine gun ever built, man. You can't kill a thing. You can stuff it in the mud, flip it upside down, beat it to death, and it's still going to shoot you. Ain't no American guns like that. You ain't doing that. You're not going to abuse an American gun like you've used an AK-47. It's not going to still shoot. I don't care what it is. Even the new ones aren't going to do that.
Traitor.
They just good. I can't help it. Some people make better shit. It's like we invented the microchip, and I'm sorry, Japan just took it away, man. They really got, you know, do a better job at it than we do. It's just
with guns, it's all about the application, man. So an AK, I will not argue, is a good all-around firearm, man. You know what I mean? But there are others. Plushy comparing to the application that you might want. So, like, you know, if you're talking about a sniper rifle, you might want that big fat Barrett, 50 caliber, man, and, you know, be able to roast something from 3 miles away.
Oh, man, I want that heavy if I'm shooting for it.
It depends on your application. If you need to shoot 3 miles, you're not going to do it with AK-47.
No, but you do it 30-06 with an arc.
30-06 ain't shooting no 3 miles.
Oh, yeah, with an arc it would either.
Not with any kind of force. No way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, enough
no
to kill you.
No
oh,
way.
Yeah, enough
not
to kill
this world.
Dude. You put a 110 grain head on.
30-06. This is a short range.
No, they're not short range, dude. They're sniper rifles. That's what you actually were developed for.
A PSG-1
they became
hunting
rifles.
A PSG-1.
They became actually, dude. If you go, actually, I was using these in Navy, but if you go to any of the services, that's one of the most chosen guns for sniper rifles there is. Nobody shoots.
100 years ago.
No, still today. They still use
seven,
them today.
7mm Magnum was their number one choice. Then the M1, believe it or not, because they were so reliable.
I actually got my all three badges, and I'm telling you what they were shooting. They weren't M1 was great, but M1 was the carbine sucked, and the M1 rifle was a bolt action like the odd six, but it just didn't get the kind of range you got. See, people don't realize, but the biggest shell is the odd six. It's a big ass shell. And you can stuff it full of powder. You don't get a full load of powder.
All right, so it was certified reach of 4.7 miles, right? But an effective firing range of 1,000 yards. So we're talking about effective firing range. We're not talking about how far the thing would go if you shoot it up in the air.
No, that's not how you do it. It's called an arc. And see, what happens with an arc is so it loses its velocity as it comes up. And when it reaches the arc and it comes back down, it actually picks velocity back up again. It'll kill you. It'll go right through your heart, pierce your heart. You don't even have to use a – and you can't use any lead head because it's not going to travel if you have a steel tip. A lead head just not going to go. It's just it'll wobble or get stupid on it. You won't get your accurate, but these steel tips will. And it'll go right through your heart, pierce it. Next thing you know, you'll be dead.
So your Barrett's got 1,969 yards. 1,969 yards away, and you're effectively destroying one there. You know that guy Kyle, what's his face, who got killed? The sniper dude who got someone like 2.5 miles away, something like
that. He set a record.
I don't follow that stuff that closely.
He set a record at 2.57, or it was either 2.57 or 2.75. I don't remember. It was a good shot. It was definitely a record breaking shot. As far as we know, because they didn't keep records back in the old days when they were in the military, so we don't actually know if it was or not. You know, Danny Boone's musket ball gun was supposed to shoot like 600 yards. I'm not sure, man. That's a long way, 600 yards. Yeah, it's I'm not sure how that works.
You ever shoot a musket? I have. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I've shot a 9mm round. I've shot a 10mm round and a 14mm round. And I don't know why they're in millimeters, because back in the day they weren't. They were in standards. I'm not exactly sure how that happened. But they kicked like a mule, all three of them did. They had outrageously long barrels. I think the last one I shot was 61-inch barrel. I mean, this thing's going to throw itself easily a mile. I mean, just because of the size of the freaking barrel is insane. Any amount of, and then you could temper, how much gunpowder you wanted to put back there.
AR-10 is chambered in 308. That's pretty much going to be your standard, what they carry around, that and their M16 and such.
We used to hunt with 308. They just didn't have the knockdown power.
308's a big shot, man. I mean, it'll bruise your elbow. It'll bruise your shoulder.
Yeah, but still don't have the kind of knockdown power you need. We used to hunt with them, but we didn't hunt deer with them. We hunted other things with them.
That's 17. It's seven. Same size as the AK. 7.62x51 though. AK is not 51. 39. But 51, man, that's a long. That's a NATO round, and it's a long, long, long bullet.
Actually, it's funny you said that. I just ordered a bunch of NATO rounds from a 9mm. I'm going to get some from a 45. And the reason why it goes by grains. People don't realize. So when you buy a bullet, so you go to the store and you buy a bullet, people. It goes. You got the weight of the head, and you also got how much powder is in the thing. So they're not all necessarily built the same. You can get more powder, less powder, weighted more head, less head. The more powder is better, especially if you're using automatics that help just kick it faster, and it has more traveling distance. But it also puts more force into the gun, so it makes it jump more. So it's compensation, but it's all different. So you need to know all these things when the apocalypse comes. You need to know all of this stuff. Maybe we should do a list of things you should have on your apocalypse.
You would want the most common ammo because you want to be able to find it if the apocalypse comes, because they're not going to make anything new. 9mm 45 is also pretty common.
Yeah.
But 9mm, higher capacity magazines, so you carry more, They also have the long 30-shot magazines you can find. I mean, if you have them, but.
Well, I got a 34 on my 9mm.
Just like an AR-15, a 5.56. I mean, that's a very common route. Common. It's also
I had to buy 2 18s to shoot it. If I wanted to shoot it close two-handed, I gotta have the 18s because the 21s have an extended magazine clip, so it makes it hard to shoot in hand to hand. But just that gun shoots like a dream, man. It's got an extended barrel. You can shoot it fast; it won't overheat. Yeah, 34 rounds. You'd be surprised how many people you could take out. And it's just, I mean, it tracks with your hand really good. I mean, it's got just enough weight in the nuzzle so it won't kick back on you when you're shooting.
You should change your barrel out to stainless steel.
These are a little longer, you know. Like the Glocks are like 4.3, 4.5. This is 5.6. It's actually a bigger barrel, longer barrel.
Stainless steel. That's what a lot of competition guys do because it's so accurate, you know.
Yeah. Well, these barrels are rifled, which kind of weirded me out a little bit. I was like, because the guy, when I was reading about it, said, be careful when you're messing with your barrel, you don't mess up the rifle. I'm like, what rifling? What the hell is 9mm doing a rifling? I was like, don't need it. I guess it's just another way to get more force and more distance out of it. But
this guy I like called Hickok 45 on YouTube, man. I'll give him a shout out. You know, he's a crazy old guy who laughs. He laughs like a nut shooting pumpkins with machine guns at times.
A gun ain't gonna do nothing against no nuke.
I'll tell you though, he's very knowledgeable about guns and whatever. He takes them apart, shows you the parts. He's like really, it's informational and it's cool. Hickok 45, man.
If I got access to a rail gun, I can take out a nuke with a rail gun.
There you go.
Oh yeah, easily. Take it out easy.
We can take out a nuke with a laser.
So it just shows you how immediate it is. So Russia tests this Mach 7 missile today. Pretty badass missile. It didn't have a warhead on it, but still, it's pretty badass. We don't know how it's going to fly with a warhead, but it's still pretty badass. So they took the railguns off the Zimwalt. Well, they put them back on. So then they dropped, I don't know what it was, they dropped it. It was coming down in space at probably about Mach 8, Mach 10. This thing shredded this thing like it was butter, man. It was like, get the fuck out of here. You ain't blowing us up with a Mach 7 missile. They put it on auto track. Of course, I don't know if I can get one mounted to my roof, and I don't know how to work my tear my roof up first time I shot the damn thing. But I hear they're pretty bad to the bone. Yes, we don't anger the gods, but still, you know, a friend of mine asked me the other day, "Do you believe?" So, in case y'all didn't notice, people in different handbooks, like the Air Force's fire guide to navies and standard police. There is a thing in if UFOs land, if aliens invade or something. It's kind of funny that it's in there. It's kind of creepy, too, if you read it. On the ICAR website, there's actually a version of, I think it's the firefighters one.
Does the CDC have the same type of thing?
Because the CDC does have one. Yeah, well, the CDC does have one, too, if there is alien contact. But just recently, and I don't know for what reason, the CDC added the zombies to it. What happens if a bunch of humans turn into zombies?
Ooh.
I was like, really? Just like some scene out of some movie, you know, it's just, so I was cracking up when I seen it. I said, so I'm going to show them what's going to happen. I'll have piles around my house until I ran out of ammunition. That's what's going to happen. I'll be sitting there. That's one of the reasons people are stockpiling ammo right now. They're paranoid. And somebody asked me yesterday, is it just the South? I know I said it's the whole country. I said, everywhere that you can buy ammo easily, everybody's stockpiling. Last two I heard were California and New York were the two biggest buying states lately. Because, you know, they have low round clips, both states. So down here, they don't even care how many rounds you got in there.
Only 10. And in New York, you're only supposed to load 7 and not 10. And that's going to save people's lives. So if you're some psychopath who's going to kill people, You care about the law, right? You care about, okay, I'm not going to put – I mean, and you can waltz into Pennsylvania and buy high-capacity magazines all day, or New Jersey or places like that, or Massachusetts. So it's not like – you know, just these laws, they don't save lives. They're not, you know, it's not getting illegal guns off the streets. They're not stopping criminals from committing crime. Laws don't stop criminals from committing crimes. They just punish. It's a length of punishment, right? It's not stopping them. What's going to – you know, police are supposed to stop criminals, but they don't want to get involved these days.
Well, the problem with the prisons is they're not really reforming, so it's not really doing any good. It's, you know, I don't know how they're going to work this out, but locking people up doesn't seem to work, but they can't let them loose either. So
I know people who are COs, correctional officers, you know, and then the numbers they tell me, and these are pretty heavy duty facilities, you know, that have minimum all the way up to maximum, that maybe 10% get rehabilitated, 10%. So 90% don't. So really, that's why they spend much of the money on incarceration and not rehabilitation. You know, they think it's a catch-22, but can you really rehabilitate a sociopath? Because in my experience, at one point, they get to a certain age, they don't want to go back to jail. And they'll still have, criminal tendencies, but they start getting to the point where they don't want to go back. And that usually happens in their late 30s, early 40s, all the way through. Sometimes.
So DC's got 10 rounds too, huh? Hawaii's got actually 10 rounds. Oh, look at Maryland got 20 rounds. Go, Maryland. You tell Maryland just give y'all a bird, DC.
Well, look at Ohio. I mean, you can get pretty much any gun in Ohio. And if you're from New York, you can buy a handgun in places like Pennsylvania, Ohio, whatever. But you can't bring it back into New York unless you get a permit. In New York, even if you put your finger on an unloaded pistol, even in a gun store, it's a felony, right? But how many people are running through the streets with handguns that are illegal? And look at the shootings in the city. I mean, just over this last weekend, there was a load of them. People getting killed, you know? And those are all illegal guns, man. Those are basically all illegal guns. What are they doing to get the illegal guns off the streets?
Oh, look at Jersey, man. They got 15 rounds. They're going to come in and take you. New York is over, man. Which I was
New York is 7 unless you're – if you're on target range, you could put 10. If you're like if doing a home range or something, it's 7. But who's going to know? Who's going to know? You know, the police going to show up and count how many rounds are in your magazine? Really?
That's the capacity that can really be reported covering except for more than.
And it's been proven that I don't like 30 round magazines myself because it makes the gun much more heavy and it offloads the weight of the firearm if you're looking for precision shooting, you know. But 20 round magazines are actually pretty perfect, you know. It's a good size and it's not cumbersome at all. But.
No, Como gave y'all 3 more bullets, by the way.
But you have, I mean, you can go out and buy 50 round, 100 round magazines for these rifles, you know. I mean, they have barrel clips for AK and also for the AR-15 and things like that. So it doesn't really matter. And those high capacity, you know, Joe, as well as I do, that they jam up. You know, they have a tendency to jam up because there's too many bullets in there. Yeah,
you definitely got to make sure you're shooting at least a mid-range powder.
A Texas sheriff proved that he could shoot faster using 10 round magazines than using 30 round magazines. He proved it. You know, he proved that he just was able to pop out the magazine, put another one in, pop it out, put another one in, you know. So like banning high capacity magazines, that was New York. It was all cosmetic, really. They didn't change anything about the gun except, oh, no pistol grip. Or no flash suppressor, right? Not, you know, a suppressor is a silencer, but I'm talking about a flash suppressor, just, you know, the thing on the end of the barrel that kind of is supposed to suppress the flash of the gun. Nobody cares about that in a crime. They're gonna and 95% of crimes are committed with handguns and knives.
Let me see, 6, 7. So to all of my apocalypse people out there, whatever apocalypse may be coming, only 7 states have limitations on rounds and clips. That's it.
That's right. And all the rest don't.
So New York with one of the highest crime rates, New Jersey with a pretty high crime rate. Mass is not too bad. Maryland's not too bad. Hawaii and District of Columbia.
Maryland, where Baltimore is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Maryland is high rate. I forgot about Baltimore. Yeah. So the only one on this list, District of Columbia and Colette Go. The only one on this list that's not high crime rate is, which one I said? Mass. The other all have high
Massachusetts?
Crime
rate. We've got some terrible areas, man. Terrible.
Yeah. You look around
Boston, you're going to find some areas, man.
And what is a common thing amongst these people? No, all of them are, all of them are liberal except maybe Jersey flip-flop. So all the rest of them are definitely liberal there.
Jersey's weird. They have cheap gas prices, and it's a state law. They have to pump the gas for you. There's something that I really like about that freedom, man. Weird.
So y'all know people for both my 45 and my 9mm. My 45 has 240 round clips, my 9mm has 234 round clips, and I have a bunch of other clips besides. I got the 21s that came with them, and some 18s, and a couple others that I picked up from.
You see, you can't have those in New York, man. It's against the law.
So I got this belt you can wear underneath your clothes and keep all your rounds in. And both guns, if I want to wear them covered, I can. Mississippi, I can wear it open carry or concealed without a permit. Louisiana, I can carry open carry or concealed without a permit because I was ex-military.
Pennsylvania is open carry state. I think most states now are open carry. Some states are open carry and also constitutional carry. So like Colorado is, you know.
So let me tell you, people, when the zombies come, I'm going to be shooting my way out the grocery store.
Once you leave New York, and if you don't go near Chicago, the gun laws get pretty liberal. When in 1990, I did drive out to Arizona State University. I'd come back from overseas. I was going to finish my degree. And I figured I wanted to go to a real party college, and Arizona State University is a party college, you know. Because I was studying communications, you know, it's communications and partying go hand in hand, as anyone out there knows. So I wasn't going to go across the country and drive without having a gun on me. And at that time, I was dabbling in firearms, man, and they were legal, no problem. I mean, this is before Bill Clinton and his crapola, right? So. My friends were all preaching to me, oh, you better take something on the road, man. You know, you saw Easy Riders, and, you know, those guys got killed, of course, by rednecks. And that wasn't going to happen. I was driving a black Trans Am with T-tops, as it is, with my long hair, my leather from New York, man. I was a target for everybody in any way. So I decided to take my Uzi with me, man. I had a nice Uzi. It was compact. It was nice. It was something that, you know, easily carried. So it kept it in the trunk, and it wasn't loaded. I called every state between New York and in Arizona and asked them the law of taking an Uzi through the state. And I got some weird responses, but they all said the same thing. There's no problem. Only New Jersey wanted the ammo at least 5 feet away from the rifle. So only New Jersey, which actually forced me to carry the ammo in the car with me and the Uzi in the trunk. Cause you know, Firebird ain't that big, man. you know what I mean? Sure. But then, so check this out. I get to Arizona. I decide that I hate it because it was hot and dry. It was just, it wasn't anything I wanted. And cause I was just going there to check things out, you know? And so I come back the Southern route. I've never been, you know, Southern New Mexico at that point. And Texas, I was born in El Paso. I've never been there. So I decided to go that way. I'm going through New Mexico past Las Cruces. And then they were stopping people like the Border Patrol. So the Border Patrol stops me. I didn't cross the border, but they stopped me and started asking me. They were real assholes, too. Asked me questions. I was answering, and I'm watching tractor trailers roll right through like they could have been packed full of illegal immigrants or something. You know what I mean? And then they got me in my little black Trans Am. So the cop's like, there anything in the car you want to tell us about, boy? And I'm like, I got an Uzi in the trunk. And he laughed like I told him the funniest joke. I said, I really have an Uzi in the trunk. And then they saw the Uzi. Well, because he's like, cops like, of course you do. All New Yorkers carry Uzis, don't you?
Sure we do.
Man. Yes, we do.
New Yorkers like to carry revolvers, man.
Long Island. That's why Long Island is safer than New York City. Everybody's got a Uzi.
But while you were talking, I just ordered me a concealed permit for Illinois. So next time I'm in Chicago, I can carry my gun concealed. Well, they don't have open carry yet.
Illinois legalized marijuana, man.
And guns. So that means I can carry my guns and my pot together. That's not going to work out real well.
It's a catch-22. If you cross the border with weed, you're screwed, man. You know, they need to legalize it. They need to stop putting people in jail for it anyway. That's what they need.
Well, most states don't. Like Texas, if you get stopped, like if you say you go to Colorado and you buy some weed, as long as it's not like pounds, and they stop you, they're going to take it out, destroy it on the grounds right then and there, and give you a ticket. And that's it. And you go anywhere, you pay the ticket. I think it's like $200, $250. You pay your ticket, you're done. Mississippi, same way, except Mississippi's going to impound your car because they want the extra money. So anyway it goes, you're not going to go to jail. They'll take you to jail and they'll let you out later on. And then it's a ticket. That's all it is.
But who are they to do something like that, man? You know what I mean? And it's only marijuana. You know, you're not talking about something that's causing harm upon the world. You know, there's a hell of a lot causing harm that they let go right on by. So, but at least, you know, Chuck Schumer, God knows I hate him, but in the same sense, he's trying to get it legal in the entire country and have Congress do this, the big liberal Congress that it is. You know, you think they would, but you're right. they make money off it, don't they? They make money off of tickets.
Well, you know, I heard your best friend AOC today talking. Well, we can't blame the Republicans for this. We have control of the House.
I'm gonna have a date with her, man. I'm gonna go out with her. Watch. I mean, she's dating that guy right now, but he's no good for her, man. I am very good for her. I'd be good for her confidence. I've decided that.
Yeah, we'll have to be bailing Mike.
I write her letters all the time and using purple crayon, saying how much I love her and that we're going to be together forever. But I haven't heard anything back yet.
So
you think she likes me?
She never knew, man. She's a little bit weird.
I could tell her my Uzi story. It impresses girls, maybe.
Probably so, not. Oh, wait. They said it gave us a new update. So Maryland, Maryland has restrictions on what you can carry. New Jersey, Connecticut, Mass, New York, Vermont, Colorado, California, and Hawaii. So it's 1, 2, 3,
I just received a message from one of the viewers, man. They said, what did you carry the last time you drove across the country last year? Someone actually emailed me that just now. I actually have my AR-15 with me, believe it or not. It was, oh man, carrying that, because the gun's not all that long. It's the stupid box it's in.
I told you today, so I stopped gas at my car today. That's open carry. I forgot the damn thing, where I carry it on my right, I forget it's there half the time. So I get out the car, I'm doing my stuff, get the gas, I walk in the store and I get something to munch on. I look over and there's two cops staring at me. I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna give you a hard time. So I walk back in the store, I come back out of the store, they waiting for me. I come out, they say, hey man, what you carrying? I said, 9mm. He said, really? Can I look at it? I said, yeah. I dropped the clip out, handed it to him. And he looks at it and said, oh, yeah, this one of them competition pistols. This thing is nice. I knew I should have bought one like this. I said, so he pulls out, shows me what he's carrying. I don't want to touch his gun. He's like, that's no, dude. So you might go shoot somebody, come looking for me or something. I ain't trusting you, copper.
Yeah, you don't want to put fingerprints on cops' guns.
And so he was real nice, man. They were both cool. They really liked the gun.
He can say, you went for my gun. That's their favorite thing.
I know.
He went for
When I told him what I paid for it, he was shocked because he paid way more for it. Like, he said, "You're kidding me!" And I told him what else it came with. I said, "It even came with a sight, it's got a little sight that goes on top of laser sight." I said, "Man, I said I don't keep it on there because I like the neon sight better." I said, "But look, you know." So he's going to go buy him. They're just badass little pistols, is what they are.
It depends on the. It depends on the parts, man. I mean, there's 1911s that cost $600. There's 1911s that cost $2,000. You know, so
yeah.
Same for Glock.
That's what they were saying. One of the reasons people like this gun is because it comes with two extra triggers, two hand grips, three different or four different things, so you can use four different scopes on the top and two different things for the bottom. So it's quite adjustable, and you can put two different barrels in it and stuff.
What's the pull on the trigger, man? How many pounds?
3.5 on the new one I put on.
Really?
It came stock with 5.5. But it comes with an option for 3.5. So I took it off at the 3.5. It's got a hair trigger like you wouldn't fucking believe, man. The thing is, you know what? It doesn't have a safety. It's got this, you know what I'm talking about? The safety in the trigger. They're inside the trigger. They're not really safeties, you know. Yeah. It's just so you can rest your finger on so you don't shoot somebody. But they're not a true safety. Now, the 45 got two safeties on it. It's got the hammer safety, and it's got a safety on the side.
You know what I don't like? I don't like this. They're putting a new safety on the back of the handle. And you know when you grab the gun, your hand pushes it in. I don't like that.
No, I ain't gonna like that at all. I won't get no guns like that. It's just one thing. But anyway, we're just messing with you guys.
It doesn't feel good. You know?
If the apocalypse coming, handguns are nice, but you need something much bigger. I'd go look at the biggest guns you can buy. Something you can handle, the kick,
crossbow. The Walking Dead, man, walk around with a crossbow. He would have been dead so fast with a crossbow.
I know.
It's just such a fantasy thing.
A couple of 9-round 12 gauges would be nice. You could even get a couple of
12 gauge shotgun. The biggest, most powerful, most deadliest, cheapest gun you can get a hold of to protect yourself. And the ammo is plentiful. And the ammo is also varied with a 12 gauge. They make all kinds of rounds.
Make sure it's a magnum, though, so in case you want to put magnum rounds in it.
Yeah, if you want to put the big mags. But you know what? If you want the, they do it all. And you got, the double odd buck, and you've got slugs and so many things. Slugs are pretty amazing. That guy Hickok 45 shoots targets with shotguns, not even machine barrels, man, with slugs like I think a thousand feet away.
I used to go with a shotgun, but these days you can get them with all kind of other kind of rounds. They're making 7 rounds for them.
They got everything.
If you can get hold of some NATO stuff, they got some really interesting rounds with little spikes and little poison.
Dragon's breath.
They got all kind of crap you can get in them now. So they're actually pretty badass these days. Just remember, 75 to 100 yards, if you want to be accurate, any more than that, you're kind of just pissing in the wind. But
shotguns, close range, you want just for protection, man.
Now, I get a 30-30 lever action just because they're a nice, fast gun. If you get in the bind, you put a little what you do is they make a little clip that goes on the handle. So every time you squeeze it closed, it shoots off the – it shoots. So you can really roll through them pretty fast. But they're also close range. They're bush guns. 90 yards, 120 yards for accuracy. Any more than that, you're going to have to arc them. I mean, you're still not going to get more than 300-400 yards out of them. But, hey, that's still a good shot, if you can shoot an arc. Arc shooting is not easy, people. I make it sound like it is, but, I was trained, by some old couillons that used to like to hunt. And they used to like to get the D as a chance. So we'd go stand 500 yards downwind and arc the bullets over there. So, you'd have to learn, because I was out there one day shooting with the arcs. No, I wouldn't shoot with the arc 6. I was shooting a 308. And you'd hear them. First, I was shooting with a 270, and I didn't like it. So I got the 308 out. And you could see them plunking next to the deer, but the deers didn't hear anything but the little thing hitting the dirt. Because the bullet, was disengaging way up, downwind from them. Finally, I said, screw this. I got the 30-06 out, hitting right through the neck, first shot. Yes. Didn't kill him, by the way. He took off running, just gratefully took off running towards us. When he got within, 100 yards, I used a shotgun to kill him. But sorry if that upsets people. I'm sorry. I used to like to hunt when I was young. I don't hunt anymore, okay? I don't,
Murderer. Kill those poor little deer.
Yeah, shot a few Bambis.
Poor little doe-eyed deer.
I'm going to tell you something, baby. Bambi tastes better than beef does. Man, tenderloin off a deer's back is just fabulous. Y'all have no idea what y'all are missing. Squirrels, whoever toasted squirrel and rat, squirrels are a pain in the ass. There's not enough meat to kill a squirrel. Unless I'm starving to death, I'm not shooting a squirrel. Rabbits, that's another pain. Even though you got a lot of good meat on a rabbit, you'll be very careful how you open them and skin them. If you cut the sack, oh my God, you ruined it. You stunk out.
I don't need any cartoon characters, man. That's my thing.
I've killed a couple rabbits over the days. But deer, oh my God, deer are just good to eat. I can't even tell you that. My grandpa had sent me out to kill some crows one day because him and my dad like to eat barbecued crows. I'm like, what? And let me tell you what, you want to try to kill something that's hard? Crows are fucking hard to kill. They can smell a gun from forever. I had to crawl up in the bushes way over my head. Guys started crawling over snakes. Finally get out there, had a 410 no less. Peeked the 410 in the grass and they took off flying. I hit two of them with one shot as they were lifting off. I was like, first time I ever shot a crow. Doves were good eating, man. Whew, man.
Crow is the only bird you can still shoot in the United States that's a migratory bird that's not against the law, because they're still a nuisance bird, they say. Yeah. I don't like crows. I like ravens.
Oh, gator's good eating too, man. I remember the first time we ever killed a gator. We were out gator hunting. And in case y'all noticed, ladies and gentlemen, so it's all apocalypse stuff. It's for survival stuff. So if you want a big gator, you hunk a big hunk of meat on it, and you put it on a hook, and you hang it about 4 feet out of the water. Because gators can come out half the distance of the body. So y'all know this. If you ever stand inside of water, if a gator is like 10 feet, he can jump half the size of his body can come out of the water. That's 5 feet. And on land, the little shits can do 25, 26, 27 miles an hour. They're not slow. They're faster than humans are. They just look all bulky and slow. When they get to hauling ass, they hauling ass. That powerful tail is powerful.
Yeah, that's anyway, ridiculously fast. They're fast, man.
They are fast. They're fast in the water and they're fast on land. So you're hanging like 4 or 5 feet, depending on what you want. But we usually hung about 4.5 feet. And we came by, of course, when you seen the meat was going, the string was in the water. It was always tart. There was a gator on it. Man, we got this one. He got all wrapped up in these stumps. We were trying to pull him out of there. We had the boat. We wrapped its rope around a boat. And he's pulling back. Man, boat's kicking water in and shit. We're like, so finally, he comes to the surface, and he just peeked up with one eye, like, uh-huh. And he went going back down. I say, oh, no, you're not, buddy. I had a 357 Magnum, shot him twice in the head. Bah, bah. I said, oh, you ain't going nowhere now. And we finally got him out the water. And I didn't want to shoot him in the head because, you can sell the heads for with different things down here. They make, they like to
head cheese.
Taxidermists. No, taxidermists like to make, things out of him. He's a big head. The guy still bought the head, I think, for $750. And I think the tail meat went for like $650 or something altogether. And it was a big gator, man. He was probably, we think he was about 12 feet. We never measured him, but when we put him in the back of the truck, had an 8 foot bed. We had to curl him halfway back around. He was almost touching his tail. So, how big he was. And that ain't the biggest one I've ever seen back there. The biggest one I ever seen a friend of mine, staying with a friend of mine, he said he was from out of state and he wanted to go see, go into wildlife. He said, well, we take your pirogue, which is just a flat bottom canoe, people, and go watch the wildlife. I said, well, we'll go launch in the canal out in La Place and we'll go out to the lake and come back. So we paddled out there, and he has two little kids. We paddled out to the lake, la, 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 it's a beautiful day. So we're coming back, starting to get dusk, and man, something went under the boat. He jerked, lifted the boat up. I was like, what the hell? Did we hit a log? I said, no way, in the middle of the canal, no way. All of a sudden, you look to the side, this gate is longer than my 12-foot boat. And he's just peeking his eye out at the two kids. And I reached and said, just push your kid down. I pushed the other one down. We just pushed them all the way down to the deck. I said, dude, don't let him up. I said, just keep paddling. I said, don't hit the gate. Just keep paddling, keep paddling, keep paddling. I said, let's start paddling closer to the shoreline in case we need to get out the water. And he followed us inside the boat for about 50, 60 yards. I didn't have my gun with me either. And because I had the kids, I was worried one of them might get hold to it. So we went, and then finally he just went under. And I guess he went away. So we were stroking it after that.
That's the problem about guns. When you need them, you don't have one.
Yeah, you don't have one. Well, I don't usually go without one, especially in a swamp. But
exactly.
You know, just this particular. And, well, I knew it wasn't that dangerous back then. I didn't think we'd seen any gators that big. And sure enough, buddy, he come outside the boat. I was like, And he wasn't looking at me. He wasn't looking at my boy in the front. He's looking at the kids because they look like giant turkeys to him.
So I see people are selling these kits of like the MREs.
Oh yeah, you can get them all over. But you can buy the whole case down here for like, I don't know, it's like $30 or something.
Yeah, but right now it's like a huge deal. Like I'm talking about like within this last week. I know they've been out there for a long time, but I'm starting to see commercials just popping up all, you know, even an email and whatever, like MREs, buy MREs, you know.
Yeah, well, people, you know, it's a good time. People think the apocalypse is coming.
I don't know. If you have a gun, you don't need MREs. You get what you want, man. Like the guy across the street from me back in the day, a couple of years ago, he was like, it was, you know, a pretty high-end neighborhood too. And the guy puts his giant chicken coop in his backyard. And then he got there like these exotic chickens. He's like, yep, the apocalypse come. I have chickens and I have eggs. And I'm like, yeah.
Jeffrey just sent me this link. It's $98 a case. You get 12 MREs and 98 the people. Get out of here, man. You get ripped off. They get way, way, way long time ago when I was a teen bopper. And I was waiting to leave to go to the Navy. I got a job packaging MREs. I was the guy who used to band them together, right? It was an easy job, too. It's like $16 an hour back then. It was surprising. But I was waiting. It was just something I was doing until I left to go to boot camp. Man, I mean, these things didn't cost nothing. I mean, $100 for 12 of them, that's like 12, what was it, $12 a piece or $10 a piece? No, there's 12 of them, so it's about $8 a piece. Have y'all eaten? In case y'all have not eaten MREs, don't pay that much for them. We actually were giving cases of them away after Katrina. And just this, after Hurricane Zeta, I had like 5 cases in the house. I was giving away to people.
This isn't bad, dude. 1 year emergency food supply, 2,000 plus calories a day, $2,387. I'll tell you, man, the food looks really good. That'd be like a great diet, like the MRE diet, you know, because it's 2,000 calories a day. That's a good diet plan. Look, they got chocolate pudding. They got like planned, like fried plantains. Wow, man, mashed potatoes, and they got strawberry orange juice.
Yeah, they got all that stuff. And I'm gonna order this. They even come with the things that you can heat them up.
I'm not gonna have to go to the supermarket for a year, man.
You can pour the water into the thing, and they heat themselves up, which is actually good for other things, by the way.
But look at rice. You see, like last year when I was planning for the apocalypse, I bought pasta, rice, peanut butter, things that you can store for a long time. That just in case you need it, you know. You know what? If I had pasta, sauce, cheese, and then chocolate, and then of course coffee, man, I don't need anything more than that. Give me TV, Wi-Fi, and a bed. I'm good in a bathroom. That's all I need. All
okay.
I need.
The rating on this is 666. You got to be shitting me, really? You got to be shitting.
That's the devil, Joe.
Now wait, I didn't read this. Get $50 off instantly. Pay $48 upon approval. So these for $12 for $8, that's not bad. I can't really bitch about that. You know, that's what $3.
What do MREs taste like, though, for real, man?
All right. In the old days, they were better. So real quick, people, I know we're getting on the short time.
What did you have? There was K-rations way back. What did you have?
Well, no, what we got way back in the day were these. They were in round cans, and they would put like slices of ham in it, slices of turkey.
What was it called, though? There were K-rations.
They were still called MREs. But,
okay.
But they actually, I think they called it MREs. But anyway, they were just different all the way, and you could hook them. Now, these come with all kind of stuff. So they come with these little pouches that you pour a little water in and you cook them together and they heat up. So you can actually put the MRE and heat it up. So you have hot food. You can make hot coffee, hot tea, or you can make cold tea. They all come with a drink. Some come with crackers, jelly, some come with peanut butter and jelly, stuff like that, that you can eat. Just stuff. I think each one's like 12 or 1400 calories, each MRE is. So you can keep your calories up and keep going. And some actually taste good. Some of them are nasty. Well, they got spaghetti and meatballs. They got mashed potatoes. They got turkey and gravy. Like, pretty much everything, man. Nothing fishy that I can remember. Everything else. And they come with a lot of different stuff and a lot of good munchies and a lot of side munchies, chocolate. But see, now when we were packaging back in the day, Libby's used to send a can of fruit and Hershey's would send three Hershey bars for each one. And one of the P93 can openers came in each one. They should still include those today because they come in handy for a lot of things. But, you know, that they almost always come with a pack of matches and little stupid stuff, stuff you can trade and stuff like that. They don't come with as much chocolate as they used to. They come with peanuts and
cigarettes.
Shit,
they used to come with cigarettes, right?
They used to come with cigarettes and stuff, things that you could trade. Yeah. And I said, no, that's a
chocolate
little
bars, because chocolate bars were, if you're overseas, man, like, you know, back in the day, like, you know, World War II, they would trade them to the Germans for all kinds of cool stuff, man.
Yeah, but they say, but we did. We had like five cases. We were going through and getting all the stuff out that we liked and putting around, eating them and stuff. And there's a couple of little cool things about them. But think about this, ladies and gentlemen, since we're talking about the apocalypse, we got about 10 minutes. It's not just food you need to store, okay? You need different kind of lightings.
So toilet paper, man. People
need toilet paper. Unless you got a bidet or a stream, you don't really need it.
Or a corn cob with a stick.
Yeah, you know, whatever floats your boat at the time. But
the Amish style.
But, you know, like those snap lights are good to have. You can buy like a case of those and keep around. Also, too, you can always buy a solar generator. So you can have power, air condition, things like that, or ways to cook.
I've got some really cool, you know what? I've got a really cool solar panel with a solar generator, but you can also plug it in and have power for hours. You know, you can plug in a, you know, you can't plug in like a microwave or something, but a laptop or a lamp or things like that, fan.
Yeah, we got one that comes with four panels that does about 2,200 watts. So you can run a lot of stuff off of it. But we keep four butane tanks for the outside barbecue pit all the time. So we can cook with it. We also have a burner out there, a crawfish burner, whatever you want to call it, just a burner.
I have a CB radio, man. Mm-hmm. I actually have a handheld walkie-talkie CB radio stored in my car.
No, I got one somewhere. I don't know where it's at.
They're fun on the highway, man. They really are. Like talking to truck drivers.
I got one of it's like this long. It's got a big antenna that comes out of it forever. This thing looks like it was made in the 1970s, but it works really good, and it's got 40 channels on it, so... but we used to use CBs all the time. My mom loved them. I should never, ever. When my mom bought her new Lincoln Mark IV, it came with one standard in the car, right?
Nice.
I was like, really? It came with this? So this is before the days of the cell phone, people, or the pager. So I get on there. I'm talking. My mom's like, yeah. So Breaker 19, looking for a Smokey Bandit report. I'm sitting on the causeway, marker number 9. Anybody coming back eastbound and or southbound? You hear somebody coming. Yeah, which about? Just spotted Smokey back here at marker 91. I said, Mom, okay, when you get up to here, just slow down, right? Sure enough, she'd slow down. Every cop, did you punch? Because she liked to go 100 miles an hour wherever the hell she went. Just big old, you know, these were the Mark 5s with the big, long, screwy front ends on them with the 460 police interceptors in them. This thing rolled. Like, I mean, this car just flat up got up and went. The speedometer actually said 180 in it. I was like,
my mom had a Lincoln also, man. A 72 Lincoln Continental. It was two door and it had a 460 four barrel, man. Like,
yeah, that's what it is. Gigantic engine. That's what they came with.
5,000 pound car, dude. That's how heavy this is.
You actually had to tell them. You actually had to tell them if you wanted the 400. They had a Cleveland 400 you could get in them, but you have to tell them because they came stock with the 460. Because I think she got 8 miles to the gallon. Well, actually, no.
About
I'm sorry.
70.
That car got 9 miles to the gallon. We had a Delta 98. It actually got with the 455 rocket in it. That actually got 7 miles to the gallon. It had a big, huge 40-gallon tank on it. See, things like that, people you can always say, oh, you know, these big steel cars, you run through these little plastic cars.
She gave me the car, like, after it wasn't, you know, she didn't want it, she got another car. And I traded it for a 1979 Velare with a slant six and a four on the floor, dude. You know what kind of mileage I got off that slant six compared to the Lincoln would suck gas. That slant six, I put gas in like once every 2 weeks.
Lincoln, and use Lincoln it every night. Gas. sitting there, man. You're like, what the hell?
I put a fat stereo system in with amplifier. Remember the pyramid equalizers back in the day? And they were great, man. They were small. They were cheap. Billy,
let me answer Billy's question real quick. There is a thing you can buy with a little dipper that comes in. You can check the water. And then there's another thing you can buy. It's called portable aqua. And you can just put this in any water and it cleans it for you. And so it's not like chlorine. You can use chlorine too, but you got to be careful with chlorine.
I have iodine tabs, man.
Yeah, you can do that too. There's lays, but you want to stock up with that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you don't live in a place, we know this because I live in a place where you have to stock this shit up because shit happens down here. I mean, I've been through more hurricanes than I can count now.
Well, you're an emergency.
And there are times, even Zeta knocked our power out for a week down here. So, you know, when Katrina went out, there was power for 4 months. Yeah, we were out of power for 4 months. Now, we had two generators running all the time on our house, and we made a deal with we bought 355-gallon drums of gasoline from the refinery, and because there's no stations open. And even at the stations, there was only two, but we just run up to the refinery, have them refilled, and run back down. And it was cheaper getting there from the refinery, like 25 cents a gallon cheaper. Once you own the barrels, it was good to go. So there's things you need to know, you need to be prepared of. I'll tell you a little secret. You should always know where your cell phone towers are, because a couple of reasons. There's usually going to be fuel there or electricity of some kind. They always have air conditioners there because they have to keep the electronics cool or they don't work. And a lot of times there'll be a way to call out from there. So keep a pace of where they are. They can always be used. If you got an 18-wheel, you can always slide one on and bring it home and strip it down and use it for parts. But they're usually – a lot of them down here have propane tanks hooked up to them, big ones, you know, like 500-600-gallon ones. Some of them have piped-in gas right to them for secondary electricity. Some have underground electricity coming from a second source. Some have wind or solar electricity as well to keep everything running.
So well, I'm gonna teach everybody out there a really cool technique, man, that probably a lot of you don't know, is that if you need to survive and if you need to get into buildings or something, markets, whatever it is, and they have an electronic lock, if you have a large round magnet, I buy a 40-ounce magnet, I have one that will activate the magneto in those electronic locks and open them up, man. You know, even with no power, because it's solely magnetic. They take the power and they put it through, and that's what opens the lock through magnets. You know, but if you have a magnet, you can kind of circumvent that.
While we're on that, I have a tool set that can be solar charged. It also comes with a coffee maker that can be solar charged. So the battery's charged and solar. I have two of them are 40-ounce lithiums, and two of them are 20-ounce. They run all kind of shit.
That's cool.
And so if I want to take out like the hand skill saw or the hand jigsaw or the hand saber saw, I can go anywhere. We keep it, you know.
Well, I mean, imagine a society, let's say there's, you know, I mean, the apocalypse can come any which way. We can also talk about the fact that, like, you know, solar flares and things like that can short out electronics. But what about EMP weapons, and what about people threatening to use that and that blowing out all electronics, period?
You know? So I'm going to tell you a secret about EMPs, okay? As long as your product is off when the EMP hits, you're in good shape, okay? Your electronics will come on. If they're on, they are fried. It would not even be worth fixing. You'd be changing.
It'll fry batteries too, though, and things
like
that. Yeah,
it'll fry that kind of stuff. But as long as the battery's not running a charge at the time, it won't. So what happens is it'll pulse out. But as long as nothing's moving, as long as nothing's actively moving through the system, it doesn't phase it for some reason. Now,
so
I'll tell you this,
too. What do people do without electronics, Joe?
The closer you get to now, the more damage it's going to do. The older your stuff is in your vehicles are, the less the EMP is going to damage it. The new stuff is much more delicate to EMP pulses than anything else. So, but what you do with that is one, you keep, that means you need duplicates of everything, of your power sources, not of your food. I would buy one of them 5,000-watt solar systems and keep it in a case somewhere, put it in somewhere and just put it away and leave your other one out in case you need it.
And what you want to do is you want to cover it in aluminum foil, because the aluminum foil, when electric hits or any kind of flare hits, the aluminum makes it go around the object. That's why those wackos wear hats, like aluminum hats, when they're out there. But that's actually what it does. It takes a signal and it runs it past the device, you know, so that nothing can affect it.
So, and then, you know, also I'd get you some extra bright of those Neo 6, but they're going to come that last 10 and 12 hours. Buy those. Pop one up, throw it somewhere, keep your house bright. Candles are great, but candles are dangerous. One, they cause
heat.
Yeah. In summertime, you're somewhere you don't want to produce all that heat. and candles cause fire. So
there's other ways. LED lights are so cheap, and they run forever off of batteries. Yeah, I mean, and you can get rechargeable batteries. You get the
buy the radio with.
Yeah, I have the hand crank. I have hand cranks.
Yeah, you got a hand crank radio that'll actually charge batteries too. So
yep, charge batteries and have a flashlight.
I got one that'll charge four different types. It even has things that'll come out. Like if you got a big 9, a big 6, a big 3, you know, the big square ones, it'll charge those as well. It'll charge anything, really. It's a great little tool to have. They're not real expensive. Y'all should always have one of those. Hey, Aline, where you been hiding? That's sweetie. How you feeling? Everything's getting better? Yeah, that's Aline. She used to host one of Network with us on Friday nights. Actually, where we're all at the Centralist right now, she used to host right there. And her and her Couillon friend and down there in the Bayou Bernadine. I've been wondering how y'all been doing. Bernadine's bad. Yeah, watch me. She slap you around, buddy. But I know we got to get out of here because the Horsefly Chronicles is coming up next. So they'll be on in just about 10 minutes. Michael, I got to check out of here. We talked about a lot of different things tonight. And so just, you know, whatever you want to take from it, what you paid. We talked about COVID. We talked about different forms of the apocalypse. Now, in the last of the party show, we've talked about how you can prepare for the apocalypse. A bunch of what we've talked about I already have because I do live in a place where, unfortunately, we have little mini apocalypses all the time. You could always use – you know, when he put up potatoes, I just got to thinking about that. Yeah, you can use them to make electricity, put some diodes in it. There's other ways, too, people. Salt water, put two diodes.
You know how to use – I know how to make a Baghdad battery, man. I actually got really into it, you know. It's like with lemon juice and copper. Like, this, it's really cool. And if you have enough of them, you can – that's a hell of a lot of power.
You know? Do this, people. If you know you live places where there's salt water easily attainable, get you plastic containers with just something you can put dividers in to keep the water divided, and just stock up on copper rods. You'd be surprised how much electricity you can make from that.
You know, solar panels, even having the emergency sets are, what, 150 watts or whatever? They're pretty small. You can get them on eBay or anywhere. They've got them everywhere, Amazon. And you put it away, but in case you need it, you can take it out. If your power's out, it's out. And if you have a solar power panel up, you're going to have some kind of power, you know.
Well, I'll tell you that the two big floods I have that are LEDs. One's a million candles. One's 5 million candles. They both charge. They both stay lit for 12 hours on full charge. And if you do half light, they'll stay charged for almost 20 hours. But the best part about them is you can plug your cell phone into it and charge your cell phone. So they're a great little thing. I got one of those. It's actually got a self-charger on the side of it. So, I mean, you got to wind. After about 15 minutes of wind, it's good for 2 or 3 hours. So it's a great tool to have. It doesn't make off any heat because it's LED. It doesn't cause anything to burn. You can plug your phones in and charge your phones while you're sitting there. And the phone's not as quite as important as you think as far as making phone calls out, because a lot of times you can't. But a lot of times you can get data, which means you can stream stuff. So if you're out of your mind, you can stream off your pad or off your phone to your television that you got running on a generator. Like I said, I would keep two generators at least that run on whatever you think, gasoline, propane. What do you think is ever going to be easiest you can stock? You know, a lot of people down here like to use the propane because natural gas rarely goes out even during storms. But so they'll put them on natural gas, and then they'll have like 100 or 200, 300-gallon propane tank running next to them, which will run those generators for hours and hours and hours. So there's lots of ways.
Don't you think that if society fell apart, people would be going around stealing that stuff and taking what they want?
Yes. Well, see, when you come around the compound, we had a big fence up with little 50 cal gats on top. Saying,
I'm saying you're average person out there who's going to be vulnerable, man. You don't expect police to respond. They won't. Nobody will, because it'll things.
Well,
will be
no, and disasters
apart.
Like that. No, when there's a law and order breakdown, then it is. It's going to be to the people.
Katrina hit. There was a law and order breakdown. That's just a storm, and it wasn't like a forever storm either.
And before anybody asked, I was open carrying. I actually had one gun on my hip, one gun tucked in the seat truck. I wasn't playing around. There's lots of craziness, lots of robberies. I watched people. Let me tell you this before I go, because we got to go in like a minute. I watched a dozen different people try to steal different ATM boxes. Don't waste your time. First, they're bolted with steel bolts of concrete. Even if you can get them loose. I watched people, they were out there with welding torches, big saber swords. They could not get into these boxes. It was like a waste of time. And when you waste too much time, someone like me or a cop may come along and say, what the hell are you doing? Of course, then you ruined your whole day. So, and I knew a lot of people who owned stores. So I was fortunate. I called a friend of mine where I used to buy my cigarettes at. And I said, hey, he said, man, whatever you want in there, just go take. If any cops tell them, you know my name, tell them who I am. So he let us stock up on booze and cigarettes and whatever food was left, because people broke all his big windows out of store for whatever reason. I don't know. Then they went in there and defecated all over everything and took all kinds of cigarettes. I mean, it was just disgusting. There was no need for that. You know, he wouldn't mind. He was injured, so break out his door, go in there and take whatever you need. But you didn't have to ruin the man's store. I mean, come on. He retired over it because of it.
Let me tell you about electronics, which is something interesting. Once you get past the codes, it's an on and off switch. That's all it really is, electric or no electric. So, you know, I'm not going to encourage anybody to do anything, but I'm just saying there's easier ways, you know, of getting to from point A to point B.
Yeah, there is. But we got to go because I got to put harsh ones. Mike, thank you for hanging out, guys. I hope y'all learned something. If not, I haven't. So we had a good time chit-chatting. Yes, we did talk about a lot of things this night. So anyway, go pick and choose what you want to listen to, which most people do on a network anyway. Nice to see everybody in the chat room tonight, guys and girls. We got to go because I got to get Horsefly on there.
Dude, bye, everybody. 6 minutes, so
behave and stay
listen to the Horsefly Chronicles. They're Satanists.
And people, Satanists. Y'all stay safe. You know, pay attention.
They're Satanists. They worship Satan.